symbol. So I might have the most amazing powers of speech, but without love, it's just a racket. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. So we might have the most amazing spiritual insight, understanding and faith, but without love, we're nothing. He says, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. We might give everything away, but without love, we gain nothing. He's saying it's vital that we love each other in our church, in our families, in our friendship groups, in our village. More than anything else, we need love for each other. And then he gives this famous description of love. Perhaps we can see it on the screens once again if we have that first slide, Richard, in a second. I'm going to read it once more for you guys, and now I'm going to tell us a story about a knife, a fork, and a spoon. And I want you to give me some answers as we do that. Let me read once again the description of love in verses 4 to 7. Remember, he said this. He said, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So boys and girls, I've brought in my knife, fork and spoon, and I want to tell us a story about them. And while I'm telling you, listen and think about that description of love. And at the end, I'm going to ask you to tell me where they were getting it wrong, where they were not loving each other, according to that description that we've just heard. And like all friends, the knife, fork and spoon sometimes argued with each other. And this was a day when they were certainly arguing. So first of all, the fork said to his friend, the knife and the spoon, the fork said, I'm the greatest of us all. After all, the owner always uses me for his favourite foods. Sausage, fish fingers, I'm always the one who carries them to his mouth. And then the fork said, and not only that, I'm the most beautiful of us all. Look at my lovely fingers. How long they are. You two don't have any fingers at all. And I've got these four beautiful fingers. Well, the knife couldn't bear it any longer. So the knife piped up. And the knife said, no, I'm the greatest of us all. I'm the strongest. I can cut through anything. And the knife said to the fork, only the other day, I saw you trying to cut through a sausage with your side. And it just flew off the plate. He said, fork, you're so feeble, you couldn't cut anything. And I'm not going to forget the mistakes you made with that sausage. Well, then the spoon piped up. And the spoon said, I wish I had fingers like you, fork. I wish I had a blade like you, knife. All I've got is this scoop. And not only that, it's not fair. I have to get up first thing in the morning for breakfast, and I have to sit up later than all of you for pudding after supper. Why do I have to do all the hard work? It's not fair. Well, just as the spoon was saying that, the fork was trying to scoop some peas onto its fingers, and they were going everywhere. And the fork called out, the fork said, knife, spoon, come and help me. And the knife and the spoon said, we're having a rest, do it yourself. And as the fork was scooping away, the peas flew all off the plate, and the knife and the spoon shouted at the fork, clumsy, and the fork shouted back, no, you're lazy. And by the end of the meal, we had a mess that was even worse than this picture that we might be able to see now. It was even worse than that by the end of their meal. And if we go to the next one, Richard, with the words again. So you were listening very well as I was talking about the fork, the knife and the spoon. Can you tell me, how were they getting it wrong? What were some of the ways that they were not showing each other love like they should have done? There are lots of ways. Sophia, we'll start with you. They weren't being friends. They were saying, I'm the best and you're the worst. In other words, they were being proud and they were being jealous. What else were they doing wrong? Yeah, they were boasting. What was some of the boasting they gave? Yeah, the knife was saying how it was so good at cutting, and the fork, remember, was boasting about its beautiful fingers. They were boasting. Were there any other ways they weren't loving each other? Yes.
Well, the spoon was saying,
"I
want the eaten stuff. Yeah, you want the
eaten
stuff."
Yeah, did you hear that? Yeah, he was saying it's not fair. Yeah, you get to do all the easy stuff. Really, the fork was being jealous, wasn't it? And we've seen it. I think it's behind me. Love isn't jealous. Were there other ways that they were not loving each other? Any other ways? Were they helping each other as they should have done? What do you think? They were arguing. And remember, when the fork wanted help from the knife and the spoon, what did they say? They said, "No, we're having a rest." They were self-seeking. They wanted to do what would be best for them and not best for the other ones. Well, after that meal, where the food ended up everywhere, the owner of the knife, fork and spoon came and had a word with them. And the owner of the knife, fork and spoon said to them, "We can't go on like this. Look at the mess. The food has got everywhere." And he said, "I know that the three of you are different, but it's good that you're different. You can all do different things, and we need all of you with your different gifts and abilities." And then the owner said to them, "Stop this boasting. Stop this jealousy. See if you can love each other and work together." Well, the knife, fork and spoon thought about what the owner had said to them. And the next day, when they were eating lunch, they tried to do things a little bit differently. So the fork was trying to scoop up some baked beans, and they were going everywhere. And the knife saw what the fork was doing and said, "Let me help you with that. Perhaps I could scrape them onto your fingers." To start with, it went wrong, and the knife scratched the fork quite badly. But the fork said, "Don't worry about that. I know you were trying your best." And then the knife was trying to saw through a pork chop, and it was skidding all over the plate. And you know what? The fork said, "Let me hold that still for you, old fellow." And he held it still, and the knife was able to saw through. And then the knife and the fork noticed the gravy on the plate. And they thought, "What can we do about gravy? I've got holes between my fingers. My knife doesn't go in his mouth anyway. What can we do about the gravy?" And then suddenly they thought, "The spoon." And they said, "Spoon, old friend, could you help us with this gravy?" He said, "I'd be more than happy. Just what my scoop is perfect for." And he scooped up the gravy, and they popped it in the owner's mouth. And by the end of the meal, the knife, fork, and spoon were saying to each other, "We've never had a meal like this before. And if we could have the clean plate..." They said, "Look, not a crumb on the floor, not a crumb on the table. Look how well we've done." So, boys and girls, what were they getting right this time? What were some things that they did this time when they were remembering to love each other that they'd forgotten before? Yes. Exactly, they were sharing and helping each other. And remember, when the fork and the knife realized they couldn't do anything about the gravy, they didn't get angry, but they knew that their friends could help them, and they shared and helped each other. What else did they do that was loving? What did they do that was loving? They worked together, yes? What else? They were being kind to each other. Instead of saying, "You can't do this, I've got to do it by myself," they wanted to involve each other in what they were doing. And one more way, they were loving each other. In a nice way, "Would you please come and help me?" And remember, the old fork would have shouted, "Get over here." But this fork said, "Please help." Or remember, this fork even offered to help before he was asked with the pork chop, "Let me hold that still for you." And there was one more example of love. Remember what happens when the knife scratched the fork? What did the fork do? What would the old fork have said, and what did the new fork say? Yes, what do you... The old fork would have said, "Hey, stop that, go away." But what did the new fork say? "Yeah, I know you were trying to help. It doesn't matter. Thank you." Let me put the knife, fork and spoon back here for now. Well, adults, when we read that description of love, And when we think, even perhaps in a little bit of a silly way, how it works out and how we relate to each other with our differences, I think all of us think to ourselves, this is the kind of love that we want and the kind of love that we need. This love that is patient and is kind and keeps no record of wrongs, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, and all those other things. This is the kind of love that we want in our church, in our families, with our friends, and in our village. A love that's not proud and jealous with our differences, but that works together well. And I wonder if, looking at this description of love, you felt that God is perhaps putting his finger on one area of how you relate to other people that we should think about again. I certainly think that's been my experience this week as I've reflected on these words. So as we finish, what is it that can help us love in this way? Because it's not easy. Well, as Paul the writer writes these words, I'm sure that he is thinking of someone. He's thinking of someone who loves him in this way. You see, Paul knew that Jesus Christ loved him with a love that is exactly like the description he gives. Have you ever noticed that in that description of love, you can swap the word love for the name Jesus, and it still makes perfect sense? Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He's not rude. He's not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. The thing that most helps me love other people is to remember that Jesus Christ loves me each day with a love that's like this. Jesus is kind. What could be kinder than coming into the world to be our Saviour? Jesus is not proud. He was born in a stable. He spent his whole life with the humble people of society, serving others. In fact, he made such an impact on the world precisely because this was the kind of love that he had. Jesus is not self-seeking. He gave his life to die on the cross to pay for our sins, so that through faith in him we might be cleansed of all the wrong things we've done. He keeps no record of wrongs. With our faith in him, the slate is wiped clean. And Christ rose again, and he loves us today with this love that always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. He gives us his Holy Spirit to help us love one another in this way. So as we go into a new week, what can help us love each other in the way of the new knife, fork and spoon, not the old knife, fork and spoon? Well, it is to remember how much Jesus Christ loves us. When we think on his love for us, when we give thanks for it, when we celebrate in his heart that he loves us in a way like this, we find that he gives us the strength to show the same kind of love to people around us. Let's pray and ask that he would do that. Let's pray together. That verse from the book of 1 John. We love because he first loved us. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that before we even thought of you, you loved us with this love that is patient and kind and strong. Help us to remember and to think about and to celebrate the love that you have for us. And I pray that it would help us to love one another in this wonderful way. Amen. Amen.